Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 16th of September, and I'm recording at 9:46 p.m., and that is still British summertime here in rainy London. Okay, what an exciting day. I'm here. I know I'm inclined to think that on a number of days, but you know, it's actually true. And today, it again was dominated by China, only this time that helped the bulls. And the story, which you've probably already heard about, but I mentioned very briefly, last hour of trading, China was sinking lower, and some massive buying came in and pushed the indices up here really quite sharply. Shanghai Composite Index closing up 4.89%. That took that level back to 31,052. It had just dipped below 3,152, and it had just dipped below that 3,000 level before the rally started. Support buying, government buying, the Shenzhen Composite Index, that's the more volatile one, thin market index, high valuations, up 6.5%. But interestingly here, if we look at the Hang Seng Index out of Hong Kong, 2.38% to the upside. And the enterprise index, these are the cheap indices in China, up over 2% as well. And we had follow-on, plenty of that. This was led to a good gain in Taiwan, 0.9%, and South Korea almost up 2 percentage points. Very, very impressive. Australia, a good day, 1.6%. And India, firm here overall, up over 1%. Looks like only Indonesia among the more important markets in the region was weaker, and that was down a third of a percentage point. So what's China trying to do here overall? Well, you know, this is a command economy and a command stock market. And that's been the case really for quite a while, as you will have certainly noticed. Now, the bears had been in charge, given some of the overly aggressive speculation that had been allowed, and then some of the rather cack-handed command economy decisions that were being made by the government. My guess is they're trying to squeeze the bears, and they also want to check the overall slide, and they can probably do so. And that Shanghai Composite Index, which was expensive a while back, you know, today PE ratio, and this is an historic PE, and their growth has slowed, but it's nevertheless it's at 15.65, and it yields 2.02%. Here, my guess is that there are a lot of shorts in this market, and China would love nothing more than to squeeze those. So don't be surprised if we get a little more follow through in here. It'll be interesting to see. Okay, and just a general overall picture here. You know, today, I would describe China, well, I'd say for world investors, whether you're domestically oriented or internationalists, I mean, China is the big elephant in the room. And moreover, it's still growing as an economy. And it's the second largest economy to the United States. And in some respects, it's bigger, not least in terms of importing actual resources. So it's at that size, and with that command management, command economy, command stock market, China is seldom a passive presence, and it's often unpredictable. Now, you know, you may not want to invest, or may not want to invest in China, But everyone, I think, certainly needs to keep an eye on it, starting with the price charts for Chinese indices. Okay, let's look at elsewhere here. And the European stock market indices were all higher. Best gain this time looks like Spain. France, a good for Spain was up nearly 2%. France up 1.67%. The Euro Stoxx 50 up 1.38%. And Germany lagged, only up a little over a third of a percentage point in here. It had a little bit of a late sell-off. Wall Street, another steady performance. It started down slightly on the day, but 4/5 of a percentage point or more for the Dow and the S&P 500. NASDAQ up nearly 2/3 of a percentage point. So that's good follow-through after yesterday's gains. And what impresses me most about Wall Street is the fact that the previous favorites before we got into this big corrective phase, the previous favorites have bounced, for the most part, have bounced back really quite well. And I'm sure I said this yesterday, but it's a point worth repeating. There'll be uncertainty over the next 6 weeks in here, but where you see share prices that are ranging and have been ranging throughout the corrective phase to the left of their rising 200-day moving averages, which you want to look at on weekly charts, if they haven't wilted to date, they're probably unlikely to in the next over the next 6 weeks, which and that's the end of the seasonally tricky period that we see overall, and then U.S. selection factors become a dominant influence, and from North America at any rate. So, what about these other U.S. indices? Well, they had all lost form, as you know, before the 10% plus correction, and the NASDAQ Composite and also the NASDAQ 100 indices moved marginally back above their 200-day moving averages in here today. So again, that's good action overall. We see similar action in some of the more fashionable autonomies. Okay, elsewhere in the Americas, we've got Canada up 2.25%, Mexico up 1%, 2.5% for Brazil. So we've got a lot of oversold conditions. We're getting some short covering, we're for sure, and we're likely to see more of that. There are a number of short positions in these markets. We're also getting some bargain hunting, and we could easily see more of that. One proviso, let's just see what we got to get past the Fed. The markets in the last couple of days are discounting really no action by the Fed tomorrow, although I'd be astonished if the Fed didn't say that the probability is that we'll see a rate hike before the end of the year. We will see. We'll find out tomorrow. Now, elsewhere, government bonds. You remember they had an upward dynamic yesterday on the yields, and they traded early on in the day. Yield was down fractionally, but then it moved higher, up to 2.2958%. 2.2958%. Clearly steady action. The technical levels to watch, though, are, as I mentioned yesterday, 40. Want to see a sustained break above 40, and that will convince a lot more people. What Owen and I already feel that this is sort of a slow motion, but a slow motion base formation development process. And above 2.5, if it can hold it, when it can hold it, that the evidence will be fairly overwhelming. And let's see, the VIX index a little lower here, but still a bit twitchy here, 21.35. It was down over a point in here today. Now, interesting action in the industrial commodity markets and precious metals. And we've got a good bounce in here from those short-term oversold levels. We've got palladium up nearly $10 to 610 and change, 610 and change. Silver, a good move here. Did almost nothing yesterday, but saw gain of nearly 57 cents, taking it up to 1489 and a half here today. Platinum, which had been the weakest of all, gained sharply here, short covering $17.50 higher to 975 and change. Gold up 14 to 1119 and change. Now, industrial metals all higher in here today, and again they are very depressed. Bound to be some shorts in those markets, and certainly in the shares of those companies as well. Same thing for oil, and you got everybody talking about oil. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people talking about oil moving down to $20. But today we saw an upward dynamic in here, and steady action. What it means is that the rally that we saw back in August, that sort of sharp rally, was retraced. Oh, about 50% of it was retraced in a very, very gradual basis. Which looks more like consolidation. And then today's upward dynamics, for instance, the Brent crude, $49.90. That's up $2.15. The WTI did even better, $47.25. That's up $2.66. I think that's the closest that spread has been for quite a while. So that's steady, reflecting certainly some short covering in here. And I already mentioned that we saw the same for industrial metals here today. And again, I want to emphasize these industrial commodities are deeply oversold. Many of the agricultural commodities are also deeply oversold, and some of those steadied, and then there are a few that have been running up on special situation news, like the rice, which Owen wrote about yesterday, and I talked about in yesterday's audio. So, what else to mention here? Currencies. Well, the U.S. dollar index here is a little bit easier, but it's ranging steadily here. It's a 95.36. I think the Fed's been able to keep it below 100 and will try to continue to keep it at those levels. But when I look at that dollar, and more importantly, when the Fed looks at that dollar, it has a good excuse here to be cautious about the next interest rate hike, because it does not want to be pushing up the US dollar, which creates a further headwind for those global autonomies. And also, that would be a risk for some of these developing economies, which had borrowed heavily in US dollars at lower levels. Now, the Fed will claim, and rightly so, that it's setting policies on the basis of the US economy. But one consideration, if you've got QE continuing as you do in Europe and also in the EU, I should say, and also in Japan and some other countries, China doing its own version of QE, that for the Fed to go in and be hiking interest rates, it's just going to lend further support to the US dollar, almost certainly. And the dollar's rise that we've seen over the last 6 to 9 months, well, that's more of a tightening measure than any quarter to a half percent interest rate hike. So expect minimal action tomorrow, maybe some talking about what's going to happen a little later in the year and in early 2016. And on that note, well, I look forward to what tomorrow brings. I'm sure you do as well. All the very best.